R&B, hip-hop status, true more or less, jazz classical type hits, that's the side effect, yeah, but internationally loan to play the best hits, independent radio spins, non-politic, filled with all types of advice, inspiration through the daily groove that bring moves, pumping straight flavor, Nicki Minaj and a Teddy Riley, so grab your champagne and vibe, meet you in the lobby, side effect support Lupus, radio blast ride, from Monday to Wednesday, Thursday to Friday, 7 p.m., so keep it tuned on the fly day, the side effect way, you're the highway, 30 minute in they cruise Wednesday, that's Jag on the airway still, the side effect way on the highway, call 323-784-9635, we live in effect with the side radio.
Hi, this is Lisa Lay, I'm from R&B Divas LA, and you are listening to the Side Effects Radio Show.
Hello world, welcome to another edition of the Side Effects Radio Show. I am Sai, your host. I want to thank you all for tuning in to the show tonight. I do appreciate you. I know you could have been anywhere in the world, but you chose to hang out with me, your girl, and for that, I thank you. I want to shout out to everyone on Twitter and Instagram. By all means, follow your girl at IamSai. I follow back. If you're on Facebook, go to www.facebook.com/ The Sai Effect. You know, I get a lot of people asking how can they tune in to the show, and honestly, there are three ways you can listen to the Sai Effect Radio Show. When I'm live, you can call 323-784-9635. You know, might as well go ahead and lock that number in right now in your phone. Please put the Sai Effect Radio Show, because I do not want anybody's baby mama and wifey calling me, talking about who is Sai. And why is your name all up in my man's phone? Huh? Who are you? You know, so I don't have time for drama. And I don't feel like cursing nobody's wife and baby mama out. Because I curse Monday through Saturday. And Sunday I rest. So, I ain't scared. But other two ways you can listen to the show. If you have an iPhone, I no longer have my iPhone. I'm back on Android. If you have an iPhone, you can go to iTunes, Google the Sai Effect. And also, you can go to Blog Talk Radio, which is cool because all the shows are listed there, as well as the upcoming shows. Once I post them, they're up. And you can also go on Blog Talk Radio to create a profile. Excuse me. You can create a member profile on there and like the Sai Effect on Blog Talk. At, well, follow, is it follow or like? I think it's follow. Follow the Sai Effect Radio Show on Blog Talk. And when I post shows, you'll get a ding or a bing or whatever noise it makes to let you know that the show is live and who's going to be on the show. So it's pretty cool. There's a lot of ways that you can listen to the show. Alright, so tonight on the Sai Effect Radio Show, special guest, one of my favorite artists from the late 80s and 90s, Michelle, that's my era. That 90s were my era, 80s and 90s. You know, even though I'm 25, I can't explain that real quick in my comedic tone and voice, but just know I was ahead of my time when I, you know, or wait. It's hard to lie. It's hard to lie when you're talking fast. But Michelle, one of her songs I love so much. You take my love and I'm willing. There's no limit to the love I'm giving. You know what? You know what? I'm not gonna say no more. I'm just gonna stop. Let you listen to this melody of mixed hits that I put together from Michelle, and I'll be right back with Michelle on the Sai Effect Radio Show right after this.
Hey, this is John Witherspoon. Bang, 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 bang. Don't nobody go to the bathroom for the next 35 or 45 minutes. Yeah, boy, you're listening to the Sai Effect Radio Show.
Hey, Welcome to the Psy Effect Radio Show, Miss Michelle A. Welcome, and thank you for hanging out with me, Michelle A.
Hi, how are you?
I'm wonderful, Mama. You know, I've been stalking you, trying to get you on this show. I had to revert back to my stalking notes.
Oh, my goodness. Well, thank God for them.
I know, that's right. Thank God I kept the Cliff Notes from 89, okay?
Yes.
After a 19-year hiatus, what has it been, 19, 20 years?
Yeah. I guess I really disappeared for about 14 of them.
Okay.
About 14, and I was like really just completely in my age.
You actually reintroduced yourself on R&B Divas LA.
Mm-hmm.
What was it like? What was the experience like being on a reality show after being gone out of the public eye for a while?
I don't know. I guess it was a little bit intimidating because you don't know what to expect. You know,
mm-hmm.
Television is new. It's new compared to what it was when we were out. But it was fun and it was thrilling and fascinating. So it was all those things wrapped into one because you never know. You know, it was our first season,
right?
So we don't know what to expect.
Did you watch any reality shows prior to being on R&B Divas LA?
Well, actually, the only one that I was really watching was I was watching, like, The Dynasty, because that was one of my favorites. I watched Nene on Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And Cynthia, because I got to meet her and hang out with her. She's really sweet.
Yeah.
So I watched their show, but, and then I started watching the Braxton Sisters a little bit. But, you know, I really wasn't into reality, like,
right,
a lot. You know, like, where I ran home and had to see it. You know,
mm-hmm.
But if it was on, you know, I watched it. But now that I get it, like, now I can watch it because I watch it with a different eye.
Right.
You know? I'm
right.
Like, oh, okay.
Did they have to twist your arm to come on this show? Did you really have to sit and ponder and be like, okay, do I really need to do this show or do I want to do this show? Did you have to ponder?
Yeah, I think they did. I think it's like giving up your, you give up your private space, you know,
yes.
And, you know, television, I call it the monster. That's what I call TV. I thought, my gosh, you know, once you throw yourself out there, you just have to be ready for whatever it is. But
mm-hmm.
I did. It took me months to go back and forth going, you know, no, I don't want to do it, you know, I don't want to do it. And then I had management just saying, you know, something good could be good, you never know. But eventually, I decided for myself. You know, it wasn't about anybody else. It was something I had to do because I'm the one that has to live it, you know.
Right.
And I chose that I would give it a try. And I ended up enjoying it at the end. I did.
That's awesome. So that means no regrets on doing it, huh?
I don't regret anything I do, you know. I really don't. I can't live like that because then I'll be mad every day.
Yeah.
So
I know that's
I can't regret anything. But I can say if I hadn't did it, then I would have been like, meh, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm glad that I did choose to do it because I got to meet a wonderful group of ladies, you know, and hopefully have friendships for a long time. So
I love you guys because you guys were very classy. You know, yes, you had some of you had the disputes and, you know, back and forth, but no one resulted to violence. And I love that about you guys. You were able to keep it classy in that sense.
Yeah, that was the best part. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it was a disagreement. Of course you're going to disagree, but
right.
I was really happy that no glasses were being thrown. That was great.
Thank God.
Thank God.
Now, there's two things that I learned about you being on R&B Divas LA. I learned that you were funny as all outdoors, and you are really chill chick. You were like somebody that most women would love to hang out with and chill and just have some fun. Is that the image you were trying to portray out there?
No, I think you guys got to meet me. I think you guys really got to meet me, you know, and that that was another scary thing was, you know, I have to have an image of what people think you are for 20 years, and then having to go on the show was, that was one of the things that I pondered, but I think you guys got to meet me, and a lot of people didn't know that I'm, like, all outdoor silly, but it was nothing I could do, you know. I thought, okay, so I was still going to get to see, you know. I didn't know to what extent you guys would get to see it. I didn't know how it was going to come across, but it was okay. I think everybody got my little joke and my little book, I think, you know.
Yes, we did, and we loved every moment of it. I know I did. I can speak for myself, and I loved every moment.
Yeah, I thought, oh, no, I don't have time. We're just going to kiss us somewhere if we can go, like.
Now, your music was very, very popular in the late 80s, early 90s. And like I said, your music was really the platform of my most fondest memories in the 90s. When you hear your song, Something in My Heart, where does that take you to? What place? Actually, my question is, what space and place were you in when you recorded Something in My Heart?
I was in a place of, I was actually dating Dr. Dre. Mm-hmm. We had been together for maybe a year, going on a little over a year. By the time I recorded that, we had been together for a year and a little bit of change. And, you know, he's like a typical guy. You know, we had a little issues with the women. And it wasn't like it was massive, though, you know.
Yeah.
And I had wrote that song because I felt like I loved him. And I was at that point when you love somebody like I loved him, you don't care. You take whatever it is that's coming because, you know,
absolutely,
it wasn't about him. It was about my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just something about what I wanted. So as long as I was willing to want that, then I felt like, okay, as long as you, if I can just get you to understand, maybe we could, you know, like I said, maybe if we try, you know, you know, I wrote it from a standpoint of, I maybe figured maybe I loved him more than he loves me. I wasn't sure, but I knew what it was. And I was very young to even be feeling that way because I think, you know, when you really fall in love hard, you go, gosh, you know, you go all in. And I think that's what I wrote. And on the song, actually, I was crying in some of the verses, literally. In
I remember.
Voice. And it was really, for it to have transcended the way it did and come across it, I'm really shocked because I meant it out and I was just mad about him.
Mm-hmm.
And it proved to this day still to be the song that I say is, you know, it says everything you need to say.
Right.
You know, there's nothing else you can do because at the end of the day, one of you guys is going to hold the relationship together. You know, it's not both
absolutely
of you. One of you is going to love each other more, going to work harder at it than the other one. I don't care what people say. Oh, no, he loves me equally. Sure, he does. Uh-huh. Yeah.
You're absolutely right. When you hear No More Lies, where does that take you? What place do it take
you? That took me to before I even met Dre. The funny thing was he ended up being one, too. I had wrote that years before I met him.
Wow.
Yeah, and I was like, what is going on? So, he fell into that category. I was like, my goodness. Because I was dating somebody, and he drove down the street with his girlfriend and called his girl. I was supposed to be his girlfriend. He drove down the street, and I saw you drive down the street. He said, that was my mother. I was like,
wow.
That was not your mother.
Man.
She looked like your mother. Give me a break. I mean, it was both high and yellow, but that wasn't your mother. She was like, yes, it was.
Okay.
So I was like, no more lies. I couldn't take it. That was like the last. I'm like thinking, I wear glasses now, but I didn't even wear glasses then yet. I was like, that was not his mother.
Wow.
I think it was back at night. I guess he thought, you know, I could get away with it. It's like, please. Follow on my life.
When did you discover that you could sing?
Probably I was in like the second or third grade. I knew it was just a little something off, but I was only singing it private to myself. There was an Orange Juice commercial that used to come on.
Mm-hmm.
I used to sing to it, and she had this beautiful voice, and I would just emulate her. I thought, oh, I love the way she's singing this Orange Juice commercial. I have to go back and find this Orange Juice commercial. And I used to love it. It was a Florida Orange Juice commercial. and I was stimulated, and I would run, and after it would go off, I would go run in the bathroom and sing it to myself. You know, I wouldn't let nobody hear me sing it because it was
right.
It was kind of creepy. Like, because when I was singing, it wouldn't sound like the way I would talk because I was really quiet as a child. I didn't talk a lot at all. So when I was singing, I was like, ooh, I like the sound. You know, but see, I didn't know, you know, I didn't know I could sing. I just knew that I could, you know, I was doing them notes on that little commercial. So see, when you grow up in the hood like I did, your parents, they ain't got time for that. You know,
right.
You know, they was working. Look, you need to get your school back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, ain't nothing else going on, but I'm going to work and you going to school. So
you never lied.
That was it. You know, no extra activity. What you talking about? What we going to the park? That's on Saturday.
I know that's right.
You know,
anyway,
you don't know nothing about no blue playing and no cello practice. What? No, we're gonna play football on Sunday too.
You are so funny. No, you shared on your the show that your voice was a birth defect.
I don't never say that. I don't know where they get that from. Somebody else said that was a birth defect. I said I talk over my larynx. Which, they don't know why I talk over my larynx, but a birth defect, my God.
Yeah, that's I heard it on the show.
I never said it was a birth defect. Somebody probably made that joke. I'm like,
you know what? That's probably what it was. You know how they do.
Yeah, no, it was no birth defect. I mean, Jesus, he makes, you know, great mistakes. I love every mistake he made with me. But, no, I just talk over my larynx, and the doctor has no idea why, and people are just like, well, what happened? And I'm like, I don't know, because when I went to Germany, I went to London, and they talk with, like, this really heavy accent, and then they sing straight English, I asked them, how do you do that? They're like, what are you talking about? I was crazy. So I said, well, let me stop trying to answer this, because that looks to me like, what are you talking about?
Right. Like, you like something wrong with your voice. You talking about mine.
Y'all talking about me over here. Y'all over here. What's really going on? Like, singing straight English, just straight English. And then when I talked again, it was like, book talk. I'm like, if I say butter, and you just sang butter. You just said butter. You sang it, like, beautifully. I can't get it. So I was like, okay, I'm good. I was normal. I was like, I'm good. I came back home. I was like, I'm good.
Have you found it difficult to come back into an industry that has changed dramatically over the years? You know, we got the Twitter. We got the Facebook. Everything is instant now. You can connect with your fans, like, instantly. No fan mail and all that stuff. How are you handling all of that? Has it been difficult?
No, it hasn't been difficult. It's just you. I think it's an invasion of everybody's privacy, not just us. I don't really think it just applies to us. I think it's everybody. I mean, you can't do anything.
No, you can't. You can't even pass gas.
You can't do, girl. And don't you even be standing by me, because I'll do it and they'll say, you know, it was you, but it was really me because you're standing by me. You know, we're going to make the paper anyway. You can't do nothing. And I'm saying that for everybody. I just say Big Brother is just, once again, he's another form of the monster. And I don't think it just applies to us. I just think it heightens what we've already been doing.
Mm-hmm.
But now I think it's for everybody. I watch other people's stuff and be like, oh, my God, you know.
Wow.
And they don't be singing and nothing. They just be being regular folk. And I'll be like, oh, my God. So I'm like, oh, my God, you don't have to sing to get an That applies to all.
Oh, gosh. Now, are you dating? And if so, what kind of men is Miss Michelle interested in?
I'm not dating. I like smart older guys that have like this really crazy walk. It's this walk. I don't get it. It's this walk. You have to have this walk. I'm not. Like, I don't have no type. Now, as you can tell from my ex's dating, you can look at it all here. But I will say that I like smart men. I like really smart men. And I know you're thinking once again, well, what was you doing with that? But the truth is they were really smart, though. A lot of
I believe it.
No,
I believe
it. In a diabolical, maybe genius type way, they were really smart. And I like smart men, but it's this walk. I don't know. It's about this walk.
Now, what kind of walk are we talking about? We talking about George Jefferson walk? What, pimp walk?
No. George Jefferson was just cuckoo for cocoa pop. I mean, it's just like, it's this walk. It has to have this walk. I don't even know what it is when I see it, and I don't see it all the time. So when I see it, I just go, wow, you got a nice
walk.
Well,
girl, when you see it, you have to tweet me and let me know and send a video or something, because I need
you know,
to know.
I'm
going to
tell you who did the walk. I'm going to tell you who did the walk, but I'll be dead if I ever had a chance with him. You know, he'd probably come to my wake and go, oh, okay, that's okay, Denzel Washington, when he did that movie, when he was the gangster, when he turned from a little cop, he turned into a really bad cop.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when he walked down that street.
Oh, yeah. He had some swag. I know what you're talking about.
That walk, girl. That is just that sexy walk. Just that walk.
Yeah,
just walk
man.
Like that. Don't say nothing. You can look any kind of way. I don't care if you're purple, blue, orange, red. I don't care. But just that walk. That,
yes.
Look, see how he just walked down that street?
But you know, Denzel got a sexy walk anyway.
He
you
really
know what
does.
I'm
he really
that
does.
Walk, I think he like pear-toed. You know, he be walking like he pear-toed and stuff. I'm like, go ahead, Denzel.
Yeah, that walk. That walk. That's how that's the walk. You know, what I'm talking about. That walk.
I know what you're talking
that,
about, girl.
Yeah,
I'm with you.
That walk.
We are here.
Yeah, that's the walk.
Now
they don't even want to talk too much. Just walk.
You are crazy. Okay, we're going to switch gears real quick. We're going to get a little serious. On the show, you shared your struggles with depression and a suicide attempt. Now, during your monologue, was that difficult to share that part of your life that no one knew about?
Yeah, because they asked us to... they wanted us to talk about something that no one knew. And I thought, gosh, I've lived my life open for a long time. Well, it really wasn't to me. I didn't think there was very much that everybody didn't know. So that was hadn't happened long before I got the show. So I was kind of pondering, should I do that? Should I say that? How will this come across? But I did. It was difficult because, first of all, I didn't know that many people go through that. On an everyday basis.
Yes.
Really, I was very shocked to find the statistics, which I didn't even know how big it is. So when I did it, I felt like I wasn't alone, but I didn't know how the reaction was going to come back. I didn't know if it was going to come back negative or, you know, positive. I really didn't know.
Yeah.
But it did. It came back in the most beautiful way, and I still... get to connect and talk and say a few things, and I got a lot of stuff that I'm working on. I can't talk about it right now about, but that I'm working on in just regards to that, because it's just, you know, it's not something that just you wake up one day and it happens. It comes from something. It stems from, it probably took me years to get to that point, but I didn't, you can't put them all together. And people just think you just wake up one day and go, ooh, you know what I think? You don't do that. You don't do
that. Right, I have to say, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I have to say, when you shared that, I felt an instant connection with you because I, too, battle depression because I was diagnosed with lupus like 9 or 10 years ago, and it's very difficult to deal with, and I have to give you a lot of kudos for sharing that because I know I wouldn't have been able to share that because that would be very difficult for me. So I thank you for opening that door for people like me to admit that we have battles with depression. And, you know, I one time contemplated suicide, you know, because I just didn't want to deal with life anymore, more being in pain. I didn't want my family to deal with seeing me in pain constantly. So I thought about it.
Yeah,
but
I'm glad you didn't. I mean, I'm glad you didn't. I know you thought about it, and that's okay. People just think it's okay. Think about it, because it's natural. It's not like it's something that's so bad. Remember, I had a preacher in the Baptist church used to say, you do this, and God won't do that. Bam. No, it's not. It's okay to have the thought. But see, you're dealing with something, which is another thing I'm looking into. Lupus is another form of, you don't even know, you were probably depressed before you even knew you had lupus. You just didn't know the two had something to do with each other.
Absolutely.
Which a lot of people don't know. It can be something else that triggers. The depression could be something, check yourself out, go get a physical, do something to find out if it's linked to something else, because lupus is one that you would never think that it is.
Right.
But it is very much so. it coincides. I've learned that. And then what I'm saying, I'm doing my little homework and learning what, you know, what, how did I get there, basically.
Yeah.
But it's good that you know what it is. Because
mm-hmm.
it's a lot easier when you know what it is.
Absolutely. And that
brings
me,
your way out.
And that brings me to the question with you. How are you now? Because you said it was recently that you had that situation with suicide attempt and battle with depression before the show. How are you now spiritually, and do you know what led you to that point of just wanting to give up?
I'm working on what led me to that point, because it was over years. And over years, you've said it. You've shown signs over years. But people, you know, you think people know you and people paying attention to you, but the truth is that people don't really know you, and they're never going to know you.
No, we only show them what they...
You.
We only show them what we want them to see.
Right, you're never going to really know you. And I figured that out. So, you know, people go, I know you. No, you don't. But it's okay
mm-hmm.
that you feel that way. I'm touched that people want to say that they know you. You may know some characteristics of mine, of course.
Right.
You're around me. You know I like my milk warm.
Mm-hmm.
No, because I don't even drink milk. But I'm just using that as an example. I don't drink milk, so I don't know why I say that. But that's an example. But, you know what I mean? If you're around me, you would know that. But that's the characteristic of mine. That's
right.
Not how I think all day, every day in my head.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a whole different animal. You know, so it's really, it's about that. And I'm not sure what got me there, but I'm working on it. And in my book, I will be able to have said, This is it. You know, because that, it's just that one day that you just think, this is what I'm going to do, you know.
Right.
Period. You know what I mean? You don't really, it builds from something. You just don't wake up one day and go, you don't do that. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy talk. And when I hear people say something, I had someone say to me the craziest thing. Oh, people who do that, who attempt suicide, is just wanting attention. And I got so furious.
Mm-hmm. Not
true. I don't think
at
I had been that furious in my life. I thought that was the most
mm-hmm.
stupid thing I'd ever heard a human being say.
Mm.
So that's not true. So what about the ones that do succeed? Do they still
exactly.
want attention? Because
exactly.
that's crazy.
Because
yeah,
once they succeed, they definitely got their attention. Does
yeah,
it, but
mean,
they're not here to see the attention.
So how are they really? Well, what part did they, you know, they needed to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, just do something else, because that's just, stop talking. I was so furious. At the person who made the comment, the sad part about it was someone I knew.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't really talk that much anymore. Oh, well.
I don't blame you. I do not blame you.
You know, you have to let food, you have to let food go, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I will get around to answering that. I will. But I'm really glad I opened that door, because it was like a secret.
Yes.
Secret society nobody wants to talk about. I'm
mm-hmm.
like, what?
Absolutely. And you see why no one wants to talk about it, because of people like the person that
yeah,
upset
that's
you
cool.
saying that they did it, doing it for attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like that's cool. Probably
now,
so many people jumped because of her, because she just don't know. You know, they probably
yeah.
saw her last phone call. You know, you can't. You have to be open-minded about everything. I mean, come on, that's crazy.
What advice would you give to those that are dealing with depression and having suicide thoughts?
What do I do?
What advice would you give to those that are
dealing
with depression?
I stayed on Twitter for so long. We really enjoy it. We just talk about what good it is to be here, basically, and just think, if out of everything that I thought was going so bad for me, or everything I thought was doing was so wrong, I hadn't really thought about if I did, what? Forget the damage I was doing by taking my own life.
Mm-hmm.
What damage was I leaving behind? It's far worse. You solve absolutely nothing by taking. You are doing absolutely no good
mm-hmm.
by leaving children, your family. You know, what are you leaving behind? That's the damage. Forget that you're dead. You've done nothing. It's what you leave behind that you didn't solve. You think you're solving problems. You think you're getting out the way. You know, I don't want to go through this. I don't want nobody to see me like this. I don't want to go through this. But they do. In the worst way you can imagine. And I got to see that through someone else who did succeed a
wow.
few weeks later. And I got to see what she left, and I thought, Oh, my God. Mm. The damage. Forget she's gone. We forgot she's gone. She's gone.
Right.
Is this what you left here? Oh, my God. Look what you left here. You know, oh, my God, you do almost what I call the devil's work because you leave chaos. You leave just what you leave is just unimaginable. I could never do it because I couldn't leave that in my mind knowing that this is what I'm leaving. I'm not helping solve a problem. I'm creating generations of problems of just...
Absolutely.
Something that you can't correct. That's not helpful. That's not going to do it. So I need to stay here and stick it out and see what I can do to fix it or figure it out. Or,
mm-hmm.
You know, if I get in that place, just throw me in a little room by myself, let me get past it, and then let me, you know, let me wake up tomorrow and start all over. But that's not the end of the, that's not how you do it. That's definitely not how to do it.
No,
that's not going to get us nowhere.
It sure ain't. This ain't going nowhere. Ain't nothing going to change except you're gone.
It gets worse. Yeah, it gets worse. It gets absolutely worse. So I thought, that's not it. I'm going to think of something else. So, no. And I'm not going to say that the thought doesn't come in people's minds and people stop acting like it don't.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to say that I still don't feel get down and I still don't feel I'm human. And I'm happy. I can at least say I'm happy 85% of the time. My God, that's a lot.
That's good.
I'm happy a lot. You know, if you really weigh out how much you're happy as opposed to how much you're down, that's
right.
a lot.
Right.
You know, so I'm going to work with the bigger picture, you know, and deal with that smaller thing over there because I can't even imagine. Oh, my God, I can imagine.
Well, like I said, I'm glad you didn't succeed, and I'm glad you're here today with me talking about it and sharing your experience, and you're basically saving lives, and I thank you for that.
Oh, no, and I'm glad you didn't make it either, because then I get to hear the rest of your story. You know, as we talk and stuff, and you get my book, and you call me and go, oh, my God, I know, yeah, and we cry. See, when you cry, you get that out too, girl. That feels good, too.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Now, you know, I had Ms. Shantae Moore on the show.
You did. That's a little girl. That's
yes, she is hilarious. And what I did when she was on the show, I had her describe her castmates using one word, and that's what I'm going to ask you to do. And I'm going to start it off by telling you she described you as hilariously funny.
But that's two words, and you told her one word.
She loved you.
See, that's what's wrong with her. She's a glitter girl, and she don't follow instructions. So, okay, you said one word, and she used two words. That's her. That's
yeah, she snuck it in. She snuck it in.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to start the list off, and you give me one word to describe your castmates. Okay? Ready?
Okay.
We're going to start off with Ms. Shantae Moore.
Romantic.
Don Robinson.
Sugar.
Limo.
Hilarious.
Kelly Price.
Dang.
What was that?
Dang.
And Claudette Ortiz.
Oh, man, what do you call those? Oh, she's just like candy. She's sweet.
I love it.
Yeah.
On the show, you were working on this album. Now, is the album completed?
No. It will be, though, probably by the time, you know, we kick over in the next season.
Yes. Okay. Okay. So we got something to look forward to.
Yeah.
What direction are you looking to do in the album? Are you trying to go back into the 90s, bring the 90s back?
I'm going to stay me. I'm going to stay Michelle. I mean, my sound is mine. I don't mind trying something new. You know, everything, because music is changes, it evolves, it's true. And, you know, I try a little something new. If they don't like it, I mean, I get to try it all over again. That's what we get to do in this world.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that a beautiful thing?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. I say, isn't that a beautiful thing? You get to do it all over again if it doesn't work.
You get to do it all over again, yeah. So I get a whole bunch of tries like everybody else. Remember when you were little, I get another try, and I get a chance.
I'm having so much fun with you, and I know you got to go. Before you go, can you tell everyone where can they connect with you to continue to support you and all you do?
You can go to Facebook. You can go to Twitter. I'm on Twitter. It's Michelle Music with a Z. And that's pretty much, I'm really on Twitter a lot these days.
Okay.
And you can go to, if you go to Facebook, which I think is just Michelle A.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if it's Michelle A. Tucson or just Michelle A.
Okay.
And it'll link you either way, you know.
Okay.
And I'm sure you can do that. And if you can't, then you'll just have to call Amy, because she's
okay.
Because I am fucking at this time of the interview. They're going to be like, who? I'm going to need to not pay myself that $2 and fire myself.
I hear you. Michelle, it's been a pleasure to have this moment to speak with you. I thank you for the beautiful music you've made, and I look forward to the beautiful music you're going to be sharing with us soon.
Thank you so much. I've enjoyed my talk with you.
I'm glad,
because
I did too.
Thank you all for hanging out with me on the Sia Sex Radio Show tonight. If you're on Instagram and Twitter, follow your girl at I Am Sai. Also, like the Sia Sex Radio Show fan page on Facebook under The Sia Effect. And if you'd like to be a guest on the Sia Sex Radio Show, email me at info@thesiaeffectradioshow.com. Until next time, continue to spread peace and love. Mwah.